You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, rolling through this regular season, no matter how bad it gets at the moment, but we're going to carry you on through. We are the Raining Jays, me, John Corrales, and him, my partner, Jay King of the Athletic, here to talk about the Celtics struggles, some random thoughts from the loss to Charlotte. Marcus Morris has some interesting things to say about this current situation. It is an Athletic exclusive by Jay King. And later on, we've got Terry Rozier, who sent out a tweet that people completely wildly misinterpreted or just want to jump down whatever rabbit holes. I got problems with that. We'll talk about that later. Let's start right here, Jay, with the Charlotte game, which you haven't had a chance to react to. We've had me and Sam. We reacted. Celtics lose 117-112. What did you come away with after the game? Brad Stevens, and we played the soundbite in yesterday's show. Brad Stevens was like, I'm encouraged. He kind of had a positive tone that they were doing more things. Did you come away with any of that positivity?
I mean, it's tough to be positive when Kemba Walker just
torches you.
Yeah. But I thought for long stretches of the game, they did play better. I thought Jason Tatum made quick decisions with the ball, decided to go to the hoop. I thought Jaylen Brown had some of his best minutes of the season. You could definitely look at that game and take good things away from it. But then Kemba Walker outscored the Celtics 21-14 over the last 9 minutes and 30 seconds of the game and totally torched everything they had built over the first 3.5 quarters. Right. So, I mean, it's different to take a moral victory, I guess, when you get lit up by Kemba Walker, but Brad Stevens has always, he's not like a moral victory guy. He's a objective type of guy. And so they certainly did some better things than they did against the Jazz, but they still have a lot to work on.
This is the question, I think, out of that game. If Kemba Walker misses a shot, or forget Kemba Walker, he scores 43. If Tony Parker doesn't hit those two jumpers down the stretch and the Celtics pull this out, how do we feel today?
I mean, in that case, the Celtics would have fended off a Kemba Walker 40-point explosion and gotten a win anyway, and things feel better, but I think for the Celtics, it's still a filling out process. Like Aaron Baines was moved into the starting lineup, barely played, but was still a -7. Gordon Hayward, he really, really struggled. Like he didn't even want to shoot in the lane. So that's a thing that's sometimes some days he seems to be able to jump. Other days he can't really jump. Sometimes like he goes for chase down blocks and he gets up. Other times it's like he doesn't even want to jump to shoot layups. So his adjustment is still a major, major issue the Celtics are dealing with. So there's just a lot going on right now for this team. And
I think go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think my point is if Tony Parker misses those shots and the Celtics fend off a 43-point win and we feel good about the game, then if Tony Parker, if his elbow was too far out or if his release was a little bit off and he misses those two shots, and that's completely, it completely takes away from everything else that the Celtics did, then I guess my point is, if we felt good about the game up until the final result, then I guess I can see Brad Stevens' point. If they had won, and we still would have said, boy, they played a horrible game, but they won and they got out of there, then we would have had the issues that persist. And just sitting on Brad Stevens' thoughts for 24 hours and trying to ask the question, if the result was different. And I know people will say the result wasn't different. This is the result. But my point is, if Tony Parker had just the ball rolled off his fingers differently, then that shouldn't shape how we see the rest of the game. And the rest of the game was okay. It was.
But here's the thing. How poorly the Celtics have played, it's not going to be one game that changes everything. You know, people thought maybe the
game would have.
Exactly. So it's not even about how they played in Charlotte. It's about, okay, they may have played a little better in Charlotte. Brad Stevens thinks they did, but now they have to do it again and again and again and prove themselves. This team has been an offensive mess. This team has been largely like totally unable to score. And this team needs to prove that it can get through some of those issues consistently before anyone believes that the Celtics have fought through their woes.
I totally agree. And it's nowhere near me suggesting that the Celtics are on a path or there, we're good, we're fine. But I can see some of the things that we were talking about. Terry Rozier probably had his best game of the season. It was a nice kind of return to form for him. You're right, Gordon Hayward. He did things again. Gordon Hayward's just a two-sided coin here, where I guess all the coins are two-sided. But regardless, he drove. He got to the basket. That's a positive. But once he got to the basket, he was clueless. He was lost, and that's a big negative. So even with the good things, there are bad things that happened. One thing that happened, we talked about Aaron Baines started the game, and everybody's kind of getting into today's Aaron Baines day on Twitter. And I've seen pieces promoted and I haven't read all of them, but you know, should Aaron Baines start? Should he be a starter? Well, that's a great question. Offensively, we're looking at the Celtics problems mainly offensively. Aaron Baines doesn't help the Celtics offense much. Do you think Aaron Baines solves any real issues with the Celtics offense?
No.
Right.
But the starting lineup with Hayward in it was a mess offensively. And in that sense, maybe you do need like just a role player. Maybe you need someone who doesn't need the ball. Maybe that can help you. Maybe just having, you know, one less real threat. And a guy who's just going to focus on picking and rolling and trying to get offensive rebounds and bringing energy every night is something that could benefit the Celtics. Obviously, that was a group that played really well, especially defensively last season. Aaron Baines isn't going to fix your offense, but other guys may feel more comfortable in their roles if he's in there. And then Gordon Hayward can be kind of a second-unit playmaker, which has, I think, you know, resulted in some of his best stretches this season. So maybe with that change, the Celtics can kind of recenter themselves a little bit. I don't think it's necessarily because of anything Baines does, besides like bring energy and set screens and stuff like that. But the mixture so far of that starting lineup has just left guys seems feeling like awkward and unsure of their roles and how to succeed in those roles.
Here's what I see with Baines, and what I saw last night with Baines throughout the first 6 minutes of the first quarter. It was very much like last year's team. Defensively, they were blocking. They blocked five shots at the rim. Defensively, they were great. Offensively, they weren't also great. Like last year with Aaron Baines as the starting center, they had the 18th offense in the NBA, and they had the first ranked defense in the NBA. So last night, on offense, I know they were running sets versus they were running kind of a more free form flowing offense without him when they were playing five out. But there were times, and I broke down this video. I put it on my Patreon, patreon.com/John Corrales, same shameless plug. But this one was free, so you can watch the whole video if you want. The spacing wasn't there. There were two or three times that, or maybe more, that Kyrie or Jason Tatum turned a corner, drove, and it was Aaron Baines' defender, Cody Zeller, that came over and challenged their shots. And that's not what you want. You don't want another guy's defender coming over and challenging their shots when as part of a double team. So, and it's unfair to say 5 minutes of play determines what is or isn't right. Like they probably, if they're going to commit to Baines as a starter, they need to figure out how to play. They're used to trying to drive, and they've had this edict, try to drive, keep driving, keep driving. And now they tried, and then Baines is there. Well, they've got to figure out a different way to use Baines. But right now, having Baines creates a different set of problems. They're not going to get all the way to the rim with Baines there necessarily if he's going to be clogging the lane. They're going to be taking shorter jumpers. So I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to a starting lineup change. I'm not even opposed to Gordon Hayward coming out of the starting lineup. My personal choice would be to start maybe Marcus Smart and maybe bring Jaylen Brown off the bench. And then this way you have a better defensive perimeter player. The Celtics have been giving up a lot of drives. Then you bring Jaylen Brown in for Gordon Hayward, and then Gordon Hayward can start the second quarter. Like that's my preference, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'd say, last year the starting lineup with Aaron Baines in it had a 111.6 offensive rating, which is really good. They were plus 13.4 net rating, also really good. So that's a lot better than what this year's version has been. And I don't think the Celtics' problems right now are necessarily all lineup related. Like, I think some of that can help, but I think it's just also the adjustment, which we knew was going to come, just hasn't been as seamless as the Celtics would have hoped. And I think there are a lot of guys dealing with a lot of different pressures and things like that. And they haven't always felt like, to me, watching them, like they've had fun playing with each other, like they've enjoyed playing with each other, like they have that spirit that they had last year when really, like, no matter how far they were down, they just kind of seemed to have a belief in each other that they could come back. That hasn't always been there. And it seems like they've cratered a bit when things have gone wrong. And that's very far from what they've been typically under Brad Stevens. And I imagine that irritates him as much as anything about this team right now.
That will bring us very nicely into what Marcus Morris said about this team. And that's coming up after a short break. We'll start this break by telling you that this could be a break where your company could be mentioned. If you are a local company looking to reach men who are a little more affluent, who are a little bit more educated than the regular radio listeners, then that's our audience. It's 98% men. These are guys who have good jobs and good educations. If that's the audience that you're trying to reach, again, 98% men, then you should advertise with us. It's the email us at LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors that they hear on their podcasts. It's a better payout, better turnover than radio listeners. So LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com for information on how to advertise on this podcast. Marcus Morris had some things to say about the Celtics, and it is a J. King exclusive coming up on The Athletic, theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic to get the full story. But Jay, you spoke to Marcus Morris today in practice, and when we were setting up for the show, when we were pre-gaming here, getting ready and trying to figure out how to do this show, you summed it up by saying, it kind of confirms a lot of the things we thought we knew about the Celtics. So why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, so the first thing I did was ask Marcus Morris. You could read this piece on The Athletic, where I post my stuff, shameless plug, just like John. But
it's first all about
thing
plugs.
First thing I did was ask him about the mood around the team. And he said, obviously, the mood's not as best as it could be. We've got a lot of young guys, man, and I think they get down on themselves when stuff's not going the right way, and it's just an adjustment. After that, I asked him about Kyrie's comments about how the young guys need to get used to the pressure on them to perform as part of a great team. And he said, I don't think it's the pressure. To me, the pressure was last year, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's that. I just think that they're just not as successful as they want to be early on. And I think it's just getting to them as it would a young player. And he went on to say he didn't think it was just confined to young players. He doesn't think the energy across the board has been great. But I just thought it was interesting that another guy brought up young guys and young guys being down on themselves after what Kyrie said the other night. And I thought it was interesting that the Celtics have, like, it's pretty clear from talking to the players that they believe the expectations are weighing on them. And that if this start had happened in a normal season where normal players had, where players had come into it, and like last year, there was no pressure on Jaylen Brown. He had played barely at all as a rookie. Nobody expected much out of him. Jason Tatum, kind of the same thing. He was a number three pick, so obviously there's some sort of pressure that comes with that, but he was 19. Nobody expected too much out of him. Terry Rozier, he was just, you know, a bench guy coming into last year. But after the playoff run, after everything those guys did last year, it was like they were expected to take a step forward. The Celtics were expected to take a huge step forward. And when it didn't come together, as it obviously hasn't so quickly, like the mood around the team has been a little strange. And that's why I wanted to ask Marcus Morris about it, because it felt to me like the Celtics have been a bit off with their energy, and you can see that in the play. You can feel that in some of the comments that they make. And so, like I said, he kind of confirmed what we thought about the Celtics, that they're just, the energy about them isn't right now.
So we had last year, like you said, everything that you said, I won't repeat it. Then this summer, Kobe Bryant and Jason Tatum working out. Tatum working out with his hero. He wanted to be Kobe Bryant. Jaylen Brown working out with T-Mac. Okay. Tracy McGrady, legend, Hall of Famer. It's one thing to work out with Jimmy Butler, who is a star player, but a contemporary. It's another thing to work out with these legends. Terry Rozier signs a Puma deal. He's got a shoe deal now. Like, it's a big enough deal to have his own shoe. Well, to endorse a shoe anyway. That's a lot to happen in a summer. And that puts some sort of pressure on these guys, for sure. Because now they come into the season like, man, I'm out there working with T-Mac. I'm out there working with Kobe. I'm out here pushing Pumas. Like, you feel good about yourself. And when you're not living up to that, or when the team's not living up to that, then there's a like, oh, geez, okay. It's a shot to the ego. And some of these guys are better at putting it aside than others. But we've been talking about it. We've asked these guys. There was the lead-up question to Brad Stevens' big quote about toughness, about guys hanging their head. That happens out there. These guys, when things aren't going their way, they struggle with that. They struggle to get back. They struggle to do the things they're supposed to do. They end up in the wrong position. I think another thing that's really messing with these guys' heads, the fouls, the freedom of movement, I think that's affecting how they defend, and they are just so afraid in some instances to do some of the things that they did last year. And that's part of, you get down on yourself and then you commit a foul and you feel worse about yourself. It's, you know what these guys need? They need like a damn bowling night. They need a movie night. They need some kind of stupid little.
They need a bowling night. That's what's going to fix the Celtics.
You know, like, no, like
they just went candlepin bowling the other night. A lot of them. Yeah.
Well, shit, really? Yeah. I feel like they need some kind of activity. Like, they need some kind of, like, team-building activity to be like...
All they need is a Topgolf night, and then they'll be the best offensive team in the world.
Hey, look, Topgolf's awesome. Look, I don't know, man. There's something... They need something that takes all of this pressure, this external stuff, and just brings them together a little bit to say, look, man, we're just going to go out there and play. Just do your thing and play and not worry about it. Like, if you screw up, and I know in your piece that Marcus Morris is trying to tell these guys, forget it. What's the quote? Throw it in the trash?
Yes. Yes, he wants them to throw bad games in the trash.
Throw bad games in the trash. Like, that's the biggest thing. And I'll say it from time to time. It's that closer's mentality. That in baseball, when a closer gives up a home run or blows a save, you cannot let it linger. You cannot. You got to go out the next day like you're going to shut these guys down and throw nine straight strikes and strike out the side and save a game. Same thing in basketball. You blow it. You miss a shot. You have a turnover. Forget it. It's over. You did it. It's done. It's gone. And that's hard to do. That's very hard to do. But you got to do it because the next play – and this goes to Brad Stevens' quote about doing the hard things over and over again. That next play is coming, whether you're going to like it or not. And if you screw up in the first quarter, you've got three more quarters of plays that are going to happen. And if you are worried about screwing up that first play, you're going to screw up that second play. You're going to screw up that third play, and it's going to snowball. And I think that there's definitely some of that happening with the Celtics.
Yeah, it's tough, and I think I probably underrated the difference there would be between playing with expectations compared to playing without expectations. Like I knew obviously there would be an adjustment period for this Celtics team because Gordon Hayward's come back and Kyrie was come back, but when things go wrong for you and there are expectations from the outside, like they're still over 500. Like they haven't like been terrible. Their defense is still the best in the league. Like some things have gone right for them, but because they haven't been what people thought they were going to be, because Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier haven't been what people thought they would be, because the team hasn't been what people thought they would be. There's this sense that like, everything is so wrong, and that's got to be tough as a player to deal with. And I think the Celtics, like Kyrie has said many times, like sometimes you just have to experience things. And I think for the young players, it's been a totally different challenge. And for the older players, like this team, like Marcus Morris last year was his first time he's won a playoff game. You know, a lot of these guys are going through things for the first time. And this is a totally new vibe for them, new experience. And there's been a lot of issues. And I think complicating that entire process is the fact that Gordon Hayward isn't what he's going to be. And the Celtics are still adjusting to what he is, how he can help them. And that complicates everything. It's not at all the only issue for the team. But that definitely is something that hasn't been easy for this team to deal with.
Yeah, there's a lot, and we're focusing on this because Marcus Morris said it. And the fact is that the Celtics are 9-8, and that's not where we wanted them to be 17 games in. Probably wanted them to be 14-3 or 13-4. I got to go back to our preseason predictions to see where we were at this point, but it wasn't 9-8. But look, four games out of first place, if you're a standings watcher, is not that far out. So it's very easy to make up that ground. And I know you look at the standings and say, oh, my God, we're behind the Orlando Magic and we're behind the Pistons. But it's a very long season, and there's still a lot of basketball left to be played. And none of what we're talking about is really ability. It's not an ability thing. These guys have the capability to do what they are supposed to do. They just haven't been able to find that gear, find that place to maximize whatever it was that we expected them to do. So I'm sure there'll be more to talk about when it comes to that. Celtics play the Knicks tonight, and hopefully they're able to kind of trounce the Knicks. The Knicks are not a good team. They are 4-13. If the Celtics cannot get past the Knicks, then they've got a lot of problems. They are just about as good as the Bulls, and the Celtics kill the Bulls. So that would be nice to kind of get that blowout at home to get that taste out of our mouths. Okay, moving on, we'll get to what Terry Rozier said as soon as I remind you that the Lockdown Podcast Network doing really special and unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Follow at Lockdown NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram. On Instagram, it's snippets of all of our shows. You get 1 minute stories, 15 seconds apiece, to sample other podcasts, and then longer clips on the feed. Lockdown NBA Net on Twitter is a very nice curated feed of all of our Lockdown NBA podcast hosts, all of the Lockdown podcast hosts across the NBA network. So you get to follow everybody just by following one account. It's a very nice, simple thing to do. So make sure you follow Lockdown NBA Net on both Twitter and on Instagram. Okay, so Terry Rozier tweeted out this morning, let's do us all a favor. And that was it. And people lost their shit. Without any context, without anything, people jumped to crazy conclusions. Jay, you were at practice. Let's start with this. Because later on he tweeted, I forgot y'all get happy feet. I wasn't talking about me. Chill with the bad talk. He addressed it at practice as well. So why don't you tell us what he said at practice?
Yeah, he basically said there wasn't nothing on that. AKA, you guys need to calm the hell down. Was it talking about my happiness in Boston? And it was a cryptic tweet, but it's just Twitter, man. I think it could have been, but apparently it had nothing to do with his place in Boston. And the rush to think that it was kind of entertaining to me.
Yeah, entertaining, but kind of stupid as well. And I saw, like, WEEI online posted something that said, Rozier posts cryptic trade request. Like, okay, if you want to do a post about Terry Rozier's tweet and say, oh, what does this mean? I don't know what this means. And everybody uses the word cryptic. Nobody uses the word cryptic in any other circumstance, by the way. But they get into this whole thing, but to call it a trade request, like, that's just so dumb and irresponsible. Like, whoever's responsible for putting that online at WEI should be fired. That's stupid. Well, maybe not fired, but like
Corrales going in. Corrales going in.
Like, that's just dumb. Like, that's just, it's a stupid, irresponsible thing to do. Like, I get you want to have your hot takes and you want to have a hot take about this. Go ahead. But to characterize it as a trade request is dumb. And it's irresponsible. So that's me going in. Forget it.
That was you going in.
I mean, that definitely was. What else are you going to say about that? You know, who knows? Like, people expect players, like, everything that they do is basketball related. Like, you can't have, I don't know what that was about. And maybe, look, I will admit, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's doing damage control. That's entirely possible. That's possible. Has Terry Rozier ever acted like this? Has he ever done something like that? Has he ever been the post a cryptic tweet to send a message to the Celtics kind of guy? Like, I feel like he and everybody in the front office can just talk like men and just say, and I feel like Terry Rozier is the type of guy who just would rather go to Danny Ainge and be like, this isn't working for me, if he wanted to, rather than tweet some stupid thing that says, let's do us all a favor, and have that mean a trade request.
I don't know. Terry's pretty online. I would enjoy the Twitter trade request. That would be hilarious if it happened. But yeah, it's irresponsible to call that an apparent cryptic trade request, right, in a headline, because we had no idea whether it was an apparent cryptic trade request. And Right. And Terry got a good laugh out of that.
Good. At least Terry got a laugh out of that. Anything else? Markelle Fultz. You want to talk about Markelle Fultz? He's out.
Yeah.
Markelle Fultz is out with, he's not playing anymore. He's going to see a specialist. That's a wild story. What else is going on in the NBA? Do you have anything to say about Markelle Fultz?
I mean, at this point, it's just really unfortunate. I just hope that he can get his shot right, whatever it is, whether it's physical, whatever else. It's really disappointing to me that he hasn't been able to play with the same freedom that he showed in college that made him the number one pick, because he's a super talented guy, and he's obviously been going through some stuff. Whatever that stuff may be, it's kind of weird what it is. We don't really know what it is right now, but I hope he gets better. And then the Wizards, man, the Wizards are like the dumpster fire that never stops burning.
I would love, I mean, look, I'm a big fan of the Wizards dumpster fire, only because they have not shut up about how good they think they are for years. And I'm happy that their big talk, like, if you're going to talk that big, back it up. If you're going to talk that big, like, you got to be like Larry Bird. Like, Larry Bird talked big and he backed it up. Like, if you're going to talk like that, then you better have something behind it to cash that check, man, because if you're not, then you get people happy that your team's falling apart, which I am.
Yeah, I mean, things haven't been good in D.C.
Should the Celtics trade for Markieff Morris and roll the Twins out there?
I would love that.
That would be so awesome.
I'd be all in for a reunion of the Morai.
The Morai. That's what this team needs. You want more toughness? Let's get another Morris twin in here. That'll do the trick.
Yep.
That won't happen, but I'd love to dream. All right, that's the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is the Wednesday podcast, Wednesday night, Celtics, Knicks. Sam Packard and I will join you post-game from that. That is a home game at the Garden. Follow us on Instagram, Locked On Celtics at Instagram, because I'm storying the hell out of these games. Is that how you say it, storying? I don't know. But I'm behind the scenes. I'm giving you an inside look at what game day is like. So follow us on Instagram for that. And then if I remember, we can pop it on while we're doing our podcast and give you a little inside look at what the podcast is going to be. So follow us on Instagram there. And if you're a new listener and you are not a subscriber, please subscribe. Subscribers, please give us that 5-star rating, good written review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Podcast, Locked On Celtics Podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.
Good recovery there.
Thanks. Big finish, dope. And I blew it right there. It's like good ball moment and blew the layup.
That's okay. You're a Celtics podcaster. That's what's supposed to happen here.
Yeah. Now I'm going to get down on myself and be bad for three podcasts.
Yep. Indeed.